Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have a very, very accomplished individual who has done multiple things in his life. Salil Bhandari, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashut.
Salil is a chartered accountant.
Lovely to be with you.
Thank you. Salil is a chartered accountant. He is associated with several NGOs and educational institutions, and he and I serve on the board of the Jaipuria Institutes of Management. He is the founder of Udaipur Tales, which is an international story festival. And he's done so many other things. So, Salil, tell me a little bit about your early work, some of your learnings and some of your challenges.
So, actually, I became a chartered accountant by default. Okay. I think that was quite a learning. Mm-hmm. Early in life, I learned a lot of things happen by default. So, I got educated as a science student, but went into commerce and did my chartered accountancy. And immediately after that, I wanted to, as that time, everyone, it was like a startup, like we have the startup scene now. That time was a startup environment for putting industries. So I was also looking around for doing that. And by default, again, became a chartered accountant in practice. So joined up with a partner, and I think we lasted all these years.
Okay.
So we founded this firm called BGJC and Associates. Initially, it was called Bhandari Gupta, the two of us. And then subsequently, we changed its name to BGJC and Associates to make it more impersonal so that we could make a firm which was owned by professionals, run by professionals, and not felt or even even by name look like some individuals, what we call an organization.
Very sensible.
So that's how the challenges, of course, were that we had no work. But, you know, actually, the default happened because I went to a couple of friends. The first one I can't forget. I went to him. I said, yeah, we are planning to start this practice. He says, come here. He made me sit. He called his accountant. He called his CA right there. He was a small printing press owner. He himself was starting off in life. And he says, please give everything to Salil. And he told his chartered accountant who was there, who was another young person who must have been referred by someone. I felt really bad. I said, no, I don't want it like this. He hell-bent on giving it to me, requested that boy, that other gentleman, that he's a friend of mine, and I have to give it to him. Wonderful. So came our first work of book writing.
Wow.
You know, these are some very interesting facets of life, how you start up. All the friends I went to, it was amazing. They all were starting off in life, whether in their own businesses, or starting with their fathers, starting with their own little ventures. And somewhere or the other, each one of them, it was amazing. Each one of them gave me some work order.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was. And I thought, this is damn easy. And that's how I got into it. Later we realized, and mostly I realized, that boy, this is a difficult job. You can get in easy, but sustaining it can be a big, big, big challenge.
That's an amazing life's learning. So before I get into you know, some specific questions on accountancy and education, you know, you were the past president of the PhD Chamber of Commerce. My question to you is, what role do chambers of commerce play in our country and for our members?
So over the time, the role of chambers change as the environment and the economic situation of country has changed. So in the past, let's say in the 10-15 years, in fact after 91, I think it changed substantially for from pushing the governments, which they do, lobbying with the governments. That's a big part of the chamber's job. Other than that, it had to get into enhancing the capacity of the members, I think. That was a big role that the chambers played, because the complete ground had changed. People were used to working in an environment where everything was controlled and selling was not very difficult. from that to an open environment, I think that was a big change. And Chambers played a big role in it. Some of them really played a very, very big role. Of course, there are different kinds of chambers. There are specific sector chambers. There are general chambers like FICCI, CII, PhD, and there are sector-specific chambers. They have different roles. Sector-specific all obviously do the sector-specific work. But overall, the chambers have basically their role is to help their members in three areas. One, enhance capacity of their two, interface with the government on issues faced by members individually and as groups. That's one big thing. The third thing, they build awareness both amongst the government as well as the members. Because a lot of policies of the government also have to be actually spread amongst the members for it to be effective. Right. If you don't do that, normally we find people criticizing government's policies because they are not aware of its implications, how it can be utilized, what are the issues. And it's the similarly the other way around. One other role the chambers have been playing in the last couple of years, I find, that they interface between the state and the central governments also. Because there are so we deal with so many state governments, all have their own policies, procedures, there are issues within them. The center has its, so sometimes it helps as an unbiased third party to be able to show both of them the things actually happening on ground and a different facet of the same problem or the same issue.
Very interesting. So let's move to chartered accountancy. You know, over the last few years, you know, the profession has seen a lot of pressure coming on it because of a few errant organizations, etc. What, in your opinion, should be done to manage the entire chartered accountancy profession? Because it is critical for all business. Without the profession, we can't even exist. But what always happens is one bad apple creates a problem for the entire barrel, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some of your thoughts on this?
See, let me tell you the profession, why it has, you know, how it has started. The need of the profession is always there. In fact, in the world, the top professions, the word profession came from the lawyers, then the medicine, and the third were the accountants. Yes. So the word professional is to profess, as you know.
Correct.
And that's the job of a professional. But unfortunately, over the time, what had happened was that the role, the word itself, anyone getting educated became a professional and not the actually the work, that the vocation that you were doing. So what has, it hasn't happened overnight actually. It happened over a period of time, right? Things became diluted in all aspects of the society, including the businesses and everywhere. And the speed at which the business grew also contributed to this whole process. So there are a lot of factors why it happened. I do not blame only the chartered accountant professionals themselves only. Right. So that is the first part of the, I think, problem. So bringing them back to their original, the way they were thought about in a society. Because this hasn't happened from now professionally. You know, I was reading, you would have read the Chanakya Arthashastra audit system. I was shocked when I read it. This was when I was studying chartered accountancy. I don't know how I got hold of this Arthashastra. And there I found this chapter on audit. And the penalties on accounting at that point of time. This was a kind of, I'd look at Arthashastra as an SOP, standard operating procedure for running a state. So if that was required and could comprehend that, so people could understand it. So one has to bring them back to that position. That is the first challenge. How does one do that? My personal belief in everything is, you need a carrot and stick, but the balance of carrot and stick, you know, makes a leader or a country or anyone great.
Agree.
Everyone knows that as theory. But applying it is a challenge for everyone, right? Very few people in the world are able to do it. But as an institution, when we say as a chartered accountancy institution, because that's a very important institution, where it is not one individual, there are a set of people who are managing. And then the question arises why they are not able to do it. And I think there is a fundamental problem there. The chartered accountants elect the people who run the profession. So obviously this election process affects the decision making. I think this needs to be, though you need a set of people who will be elected, because that will be the voice of the people in the chartered accountants, but you need an autonomous body in which there, so the institute itself could have done it. It's not very difficult. Within that institute, you have a set of people who are elected and a larger set of people who are non-elected. Now this is, you know, people don't want to leave power. I think that's the one problem. So now we have, of course, this NFRAI has come, which is now going to, so I have a different view of it. I think what happens in such situations, they start with very good intentions, but over a period of time, every institution dilutes because the set of people running the institution actually make the institution. It's not the policy or the charter in which it is made. So, but anyway, it's starting. So it is required at this point of time. It
will be. Very, very interesting.
So this actually, the chartered accountants who came in from this kind of an environment and started doing practice, obviously there was a problem of knowledge, there was a problem of ethics, there was a problem of, they were not away from the society, I think. They were part of it. So we need to bring them back as the way they are respected as a professional. And this must happen in law, it must happen, I think, in the doctor's profession also. At least these three are very, very critical for any country.
That's very well said. And thank you for talking about Chanakya. I mean, I'm a very great believer in Chanakya, and I've read both his Arthashastra and Niti Shastra. That's excellent. So, Sari, let's move to your next passion, which is education. You know, you serve on several advisory boards and regular boards of educational institutions. My question to you is that, you know, we've just got a new education policy. What are some of your early thoughts on the new policy?
So, of course, it is a very comprehensive policy, no doubt about it. Covers all aspects of education. Very, very well articulated, I think. Of course, if one starts to find different things which are gaps, there will be an honest and positive critique which must be there so that it improves it. Right? That's one part. I think the key things which are little important in this policy, it is a very comprehensive policy and must be implemented. What we've seen over time, policies get made. Again, the problem is the implementation. It deals with, there is a chapter on implementation. And if you go and see it, actually I read it, it's less than 10 or 20 lines.
I see.
You know, my thing is, it has to be clearly articulated. How will you, because in a country like India, where there are states, where there is a central government, where you want it to be autonomous bodies. You also serve on IIM board. So that's why I can share with you. This autonomous body thing came for the IIMs, of course, came a couple of years ago. It could never be autonomous. You see, this is the problem of implementation. Because the articulation of how you will transform into an autonomy with government leaving all its power. And who is government actually? There is no tangible thing. There are a set of people here. So it depends on the person who comes there on the seat. So how do you delink it from that process? Has to be clearly articulated in much, much more detail, I think. Because it needs to be implemented in the spirit in which it has been written. This is one. I think rest is, it requires tweaks here and there from various perspectives. Mm. For example, people have been talking about language. It is a challenge. So if I'm a Bengali and I'm in Tamil Nadu, then I can do Bengali, and Tamil Nadu government will say Tamil Nadu, Tamil is compulsory. Mm. I want to do Bengali. So my parents will say you do Bengali compulsory. Mm. So I am left with these two Indian languages, mm. which I have to do. How will the states provide for so many languages? These are some issues which need to be tackled, I am sure, over time, because nothing can be done overnight.
Yeah.
As a thought, it is very good, I think, because it gives, actually, we lost all the connection with the local languages, dialects, mm. and because of it, so many things would have, the food, the living, right. all that also is connected with language, I think.
Salil, you know, you've had a great career as a professional. You are very closely associated with education and sit on several boards. But I find that you're also the founder of an organization called Udaipur Tales, which is an international story festival. Tell me a little bit about this initiative.
So a couple of years ago, hmm. there was this, we were in Udaipur, hmm. and there was this city having so many things happening. It's a lovely town. In one of the things, we were thinking something we have to do. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what, and this side default, lot of things come, this thought came. Mm-hmm. Why not do a storytelling session? Actually, it started from there. Right. We had a couple of storytellers and we'll have an evening of storytelling.
Right.
I thought this was a fantastic idea. Mm-hmm. And what a brilliant I am. I go on the net. And there I see there are host of storytelling
correct.
Festivals happening everywhere around the world other than in India.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the best one from what the net I saw was had to be in England.
Mm-hmm.
So it was there and did some research and found they have a format which they do a couple of days of storytelling. It's a way they've been doing for years.
Okay.
So we thought of doing this. Mm. And started this venture. So three of us got together
mm.
and put this together. This was in 2017.
Okay.
The first storytelling session, the first storytelling festival.
Mm.
And when Wanda started doing research, mm. one found storytellers all around the world.
Mm.
Of course, we had to collect money. So yeah. we couldn't get so many of them from outside of India, mm. but we got a lot of them from within India.
Mm.
And some people whom we knew mm. who had never done storytelling, mm. we thought they were damn good storytellers, two mm. of them. Mm. And actually, they turned out to be winners,
okay.
Both friends.
Mm.
So we had this 3-day morning, evening storytelling. Mm. So anywhere we would go, I would go and tell storytelling. Bola, "Acha, bachon ke liye hai kya?" Matlab, "Acha, main bach." Yeah, what you know? The whole idea of storytelling was associated with kids.
Correct.
Now we have this storytelling festival. We've got three now. From then to 2020 was February. We finished the third edition.
Mm.
So we have storytellers from all over coming.
Okay.
Of course, funding of such initiatives mm. is difficult. So we are little stretched on getting international storytellers. But we do manage to get 4-5 in a year.
Okay.
So there is a children's session which happens in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So about 3,000-4,000 children come.
Mm.
So storytellers only for children from India and outside are here. Both in English and Hindi.
Mm.
And then during the day, we have story. It's a free session during the day.
Mm.
Children's session is also during the day.
Okay.
And the youth from Udaipur come all around
mm.
From various colleges mm. and anyone can walk in.
Mm.
And in the evening, it's a paid storytelling where mm. people sit, lounge around, and you have a 3-hour session mm. of stories. So it's a little unique in the sense in the world which we've seen, they continue with storytelling during whole day.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But what we do is, it's not just storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
After 3-4 stories, after every couple of stories, there is a gap. People can go lounge around, have something to eat, have something to drink, come back leisurely. And then in the evening, when we end, or in the after, there are two sessions, morning, evening, for the adults.
Mm-hmm.
We do with some music.
Mm-hmm.
And music also is contemporary, fusion, not pure classical, not pure Bollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Bollywood, of course, is not there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's jazz. It's a lot of people. And the more we are researching, we find very, very interesting young groups doing beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
There is, of course, fusion dance also. Mm-hmm. So that's about 45 minutes to 1 hour close the evening or close the morning session. So this is how it works.
Wonderful.
And I can tell you, again, this is a belief that reaching out to people's minds and thoughts and changing them cannot happen unless they change from within.
Correct.
And change from within cannot happen through speeches.
No.
Cannot happen through. And that's why, again, it is a very ancient, the more we are researching, we find this is also a very ancient thing, storytelling. It hasn't happened overnight.
It is a form of communication to the emotion.
Yeah, it was a form of communication, absolutely. And you can spread messages like anything.
Absolutely.
And every story has a, end of the day, has something to say.
Correct.
And that's what it captures.
Yes.
For everyone.
Absolutely.
So that actually has now got me very excited, and I love doing this 3 days.
Huh?
Of course, a lot of work goes in it.
I know.
But a lot of people have got associated, a lot of friends have got associated. We have almost 20-25% people coming now out from Delhi, Bombay, places like Patna to Udaipur for this 3-day festival.
Amazing. Quite amazing. So, sir, I have time for one or two questions more. My next question to you is that as a very senior professional, what would your advice be to a lot of young individuals who are wanting to become chartered accountants and go down the paths that you have taken?
You know, there are 4 words somewhere down the line which I zeroed in on.
Mm-hmm.
And for professionals, I think it is very critical. Of course, it is for everyone.
Right.
So the four words in Hindi are very simple to understand. But in English, thoda sa getting the right
note. Tell me the words in Hindi.
So the first is samajhdari.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Samajhdari as in wisdom. Or
right.
Then second is jimmedari.
Okay.
Your accountability, your responsibility, to whom it is, what it is. Then imandari, integrity. I think as a professional, if integrity is missing, there's nothing. Your technical knowledge can be whatever it is, of no value. And the last is bhagidari. You are not in isolation. You don't live in isolation.
Amazing.
You are. So in partnership with your client, with your stakeholders, so you have to understand, and deep understanding of that relationship, and then work. So these 4 together, they work in tandem. They cannot work in isolation. So main jimmedar hoon par samajhdar nahi hoon, it's of zero value. Because the value goes, drops straight to zero then. It does not become average.
Bahut mushkil ho jayegi.
So every young person, I think, even in our office, this is the first thing I keep, nothing you cannot tell once and finish it. If you want it to be ingrained, it must be kept on and on going like a record. So after every couple of weeks, months, you have to hammer it.
I agree.
And then maybe it will work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's fantastic. So, Salil, we've come to the end of the talk, and our chat. Thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you lots of success with Udaipur Tales, and I would love to get to know more about this. And lots of success in everything else that you're doing as a professional and in education.
Thank you. Again. Thank you so much. Thanks very much. All the best. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.